This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. We are talking this week with candidates for office in the primary election next week, although tomorrow we're going to veer away from that, but still discuss an election-related issue at 5:10. Knoxville School District Superintendent Steve Wilder will join us to talk about the two advisory referendum questions they have on the ballot. That will be tomorrow, but our election-related interviews do continue tonight with the second of two Democrats running to go against Noreen Hammond in the November election for the 93rd District State Representative seat Representative Hammond holds. We talked with Emiliano Vera last night, a Democrat. The other Democrat in the race is Scott Stolen. He joins us on the line right now. Scott, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate being on.
Very glad to have you on. So let's start at the beginning. Talk a little bit about your background and what made you decide to want to run for this race. You're in the Rushville area and have served in government there, right?
That's correct, yeah. I've spent the last 3 years on the Rushville City Council, and we've been down in the Rushville area. My wife is originally from this area, so we've been down here for about the past 11 years, and we have a family pharmacy that's been Moreland and Devitt for the past 60 years, and my wife is on the Moreland side of that. So we've been helping them, run it and operate it for the past, like I said, 10, 11 years. And 3 years ago, decided to run for alderman here in the area and just really get into a more civic duty side of things. But I've also worked on the community side with a lot of community development prior to that as well. So yeah, I've had some opportunity here on the local government side as well.
So what made you kind of look for that higher office, if you will?
Well, it was always something that was on my mind. I've really enjoyed the last 3 years of helping from a municipal side. And so it was one of those situations where you have it in the back of your mind that, maybe someday, that'd be an opportunity to, stretch my wings a little bit further, serve a little bit more, and things like that. And oddly enough, I got a call, later on in 2019, towards the end of the summer, and they had seen what I've been doing here. They, meaning the Democratic Party, had contacted me and wanted to gauge my interest, along with, as far as I know, others that they were looking at. But just based on what I had been doing, and that kind of, I guess, sped up the back of my mind time frame up a little bit. And, after talking with my family and the owners of the business and things like that, it just made a lot of sense to continue to keep trying to serve and lead in this community and in other communities and see if we can't help. So that's really what brought us to this this time.
You mentioned that the Democratic Party contacted you, among others, and that kind of helped your interest along here. There's a voice in the back of my head that says, oh, the Democratic Party has handpicked the candidate for this race. But I know that that's not exactly how it works, despite, as I'm sure you heard yesterday, your opponent, right, Mr. Vera, kind of insinuate.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think logically we can all look at that. We've seen it. We've seen it on the national stage, and I'm sure people have seen it on smaller stages as well. But it's my view of it is that people have, they have maybe a type of person that they're looking for, somebody that we've seen it the last two election cycles with John Curtis, and mm-hmm. Where he's been extremely close. Albeit a losing battle on those two, but he had a makeup that I think showed that the Democratic Party could do something significant and good for the people in the 93rd district. And John and I, we kind of are similar to each other, I guess, as the as far as stances and what we're trying to do. And I think that's just maybe what the party was looking for at that time. I don't want to speak for them. And what they were looking for. I just came in and I was myself and said, this is what I'm about. And, this is what I would do. And, if that doesn't line up with what you guys want to do, then that's fine. We'll just keep moving on. But, it lined up and, here we are.
Along those same lines, yesterday on this program, Emiliano Vera also suggested you were primarily funded by the Democratic Party and by the so-called Mike Madigan machine and whatnot. If I were to open up your records in the State Board of Elections on their website, is that what I would see?
They're doing some of the marketing pieces. They're helping along with that. That's how they can help along with. I don't have anything to hide on that side of things. But I've been in marketing a lot in my entire career. And mm-hmm. So marketing is just marketing. It's just glossy paper, the words, the feelings, the thoughts, what I'm doing, what I'm saying at the doors, that's all me. What I feel about things and how I want to help people. That has nothing to do with the party or anything like that. I'm sure, my opponent would, say different. I'm an honest, genuine guy. So I'm just going to, I just come out right out and say this is the way I feel about it or this or that. But so sure, you would see that, but you would also see grassroots folks that have given to my campaign too. I mean, that's, it's a mix, and I've gotten a lot of support. I'm very, I feel great about the support that we've gotten locally, that has nothing to do with the party at all. Like I said, it's a nice mix, and I think that, you get support, and I think that people should take it if somebody's willing to support you and they believe in you. I think that that's a really good thing, that if somebody can walk away and believe in what your message is and what you're trying to do, I think that's a good thing.
Scott Stoll is one of the two Democrats running for State Representative Noreen Hammond's seat, or at least the chance to run against her in the November election here in the upcoming March primary next week. And we're talking with him here on Galesburg's Evening News. Scott, as I asked your primary opponent yesterday, this area, at least the city of Galesburg, tends to vote Democratic, while the rest of Knox County, the more rural areas, tends to vote Republican. How do you see kind of serving both constituencies in that regard?
Yeah, and that's, I think you're seeing that everywhere. I think that you see it in Galesburg quite a bit, and you're seeing it down here in the Schuyler County, Cass Brown area too. I mean, mm-hmm. So you're seeing it across the board. And I think that the way that I've always explained it to people is you need to look at the person. There's a ton of independents that are out there, or people that I would say you would call on the fence, if you will, that might want to look for a new voice or a fresh idea, from where things have been, or look to expand upon some of their pain points that get to them and get to their families. So to me, it's about serving all people. And that's what one of my, taglines, I always put a hashtag on, anything I put in social media, and it's that I'm a representative for the people. And when I say for the people, I don't mean just for certain subsets of people, or, I'm not just looking at the teachers or just looking at the union workers or anything. I'm looking at everybody, because everybody deserves a good quality of life. And I think that whoever is in this position for a state representative should be looking at the entirety of their constituents, not just subsets of their constituents. So, that's always my piece when I'm knocking on doors or talking with anybody is, take out the party, stop putting people in buckets, and just say, how can we serve people? How can we help people, all people, and give everybody a better quality of life?
What are you hearing from potential constituents as you've been campaigning? What are their issues? I tend to think of jobs, infrastructure, and economic development first. Or is that what you're hearing, or are you hearing other things?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Those are three main points, and those are three of the main points that I originally came in with that bothered me as a constituent, which was, education, jobs and economic development, and healthcare. Those were the three big things, and I still hear that now. And I have, I guess, the ability and the experience to have seen some of those issues take form, kind of, I guess, for lack of a better term, seeing how the sausage is made. You start seeing how hard it is on people, whether it be in healthcare or trying to get, their children educated, trying to work through programs and get help. And then you see some of these smaller towns And even in the larger towns, even the Galesburgs and Macombs, you know, my thing has always been, we've got to keep the lights on our main street. Mm-hmm. Because we're seeing a lot of these towns in our district here erode because we're not supporting them. And, you know, I'm lucky enough, like I said, to be able to be the economic development chair for the city of Rushville. And we've done some just amazing things down here.
Talk a little bit about that, if you could, for a minute. I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but
no, go ahead.
I'm always interested in hearing about those sorts of things and maybe kind of comparing them to maybe what you've heard or seen from the Galesburg area.
Right. So a lot of what, you know, we've been doing is, you know, small bits. You know, how can we, and we're lucky, you know, we've got some anonymous donors and some different things that have gone on that have helped our community at least jump forward a little bit. And that, you know, you don't always see that in every community, but one thing we do have is we have a great coalition of volunteers and people down here that are active in the community development side of it. So, you know, we've added, you know, a new pool aqua center. We've made sure that we've had, I think, you know, about 9 or 10 years ago, or maybe a little less than that, new public library, that has just been outrageously beneficial to our community and our children and adults alike. You know, we're working on a fitness center right now for the on the, you know, the health side, and trying to make sure people are active. And we're, you know, the school's working on a new performing arts area center. So, you know, we're doing a lot of those bigger things, but we're also doing the smaller things with help centers and things of that nature, or whether it be infrastructure, you know, working on roads and some of the things that we've done through the city. So, you know, I think the beauty of what we're seeing is we're seeing the city work together with a group of, like I said, a great coalition of volunteers, and those are coming together right at the right time. And you've got people that are really actively knowing and wanting to enhance their community. And we brought in jobs and we brought in new businesses, and we've used TIF dollars in the right way, and we've made sure that we've got local business owners that are able to start their business or continue with their business, you know, by looking into grants and things like that. So, you know, we're looking at every corner, and we're trying to make sure that everybody who wants to have a chance to succeed in life and in this community gets that opportunity.
You mentioned all the projects and how to pay for them there. Property taxes has been a big concern in terms of reliance on them to pay for such projects. What are your thoughts on some of that? And should that be an issue, I think, as the governor has suggested, is that something that lawmakers should consider legislatively, kind of providing maybe some relief in that regard?
Well, there absolutely needs to be relief on the property tax burden that we're seeing. I mean, you know, I'm a homeowner. I see it in my mailbox as well. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's imperative that we do something with that. One of my goals would be that it's twofold. Really, it's being able to have state funding for our educational institutions, whether, you know, K-12 and higher ed. We need to have state funding into those, and by doing that, it will help that property tax burden that's coming out. So you're kind of killing two birds with one stone in that situation, where we can, you know, fund a lot of the programs, help the teachers in our educational institutions. We can provide, you know, more guidance counselors and career counselors to help with the future, you know, with the youth and their education and their career paths. And then flipping that around again, you know, property taxes aren't going to have to be used so heavily to fund these educational institutions because it's coming through the state. So I think it's, you know, it's a good way to help both areas of what I'm trying to accomplish.
And not necessarily something where you're frankly robbing Peter to pay Paul. I mean, it's taxpayer money regardless of how you kind of look at it, right?
Well, sure. And I think, you know, in my business, you know, I do a lot of budgeting. And so I think it's about responsible and realistic budgeting and knowing where your money is going, knowing that, you know, we're not going to continue to be Forgottonia in the 93rd district. And we're going to have the same opportunities that everybody else has. And I think it was Senator Kohler might have just said this. I was reading something that he was talking about, and it really resonated with me. And it was, that when downstate thrives, Illinois thrives. And I believe that. I believe that we have a lot of opportunity down here to not rob Peter, play Paul, to be responsible budgeters and stewards of the taxpayer dollars.
Along those same lines, is Chicago getting too much attention, do you think, as being the biggest population center of Illinois?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say so. I mean, I think so. I mean, I think that you know, the brightest light, whatever, it shines the brightest, you know, you look there, and that's, you know, that's going to happen in larger communities like that. But there's so much that we have going on down here that we just need to draw attention to that. And I think mm-hmm. we need to be very active in doing that. And we've seen that with some of our, a few of our state representatives that are down here and senators and things like that. But, you know, we need to, especially in the 93rd district, be far more active in standing up and raising our hand and saying, you know, we deserve, and our kids and our, you know, deserve the education, and our businesses deserve the funding and support that comes through, because that's how we survive as well. And we need to, you know, keep a good eye on what really drives our state, which is our agriculture. And we do an amazing job agriculturally in the 93rd district.
Yeah. Certainly do. I have a couple of minutes left, so let me kind of shift to assuming that you end up being the nominee after Tuesday. Where do you think you differ from the incumbent, Representative Hammond? How do you think you can do a better job?
Yeah, well, I think part of it is just taking a more active approach, number one, and using my experience in the municipal side, seeing what our communities are up against, and then, of course, using just, you know, my skills in business and budgeting and making sure that we're not, you know, that we're being responsible and good stewards of our dollar, that we're looking at every possible corner, meaning every industry. We, you know, not focusing on one or two industries. We need to look at every single industry and begin supporting all of those, you know, whether it be education and teachers or unions. And, you know, we need to start focusing on those areas more heavily, and we need to find more dollars to come back into our communities. That's really where we're going to differ, is being more active and being more aggressive with making sure people have a better quality of life.
Speaking of jobs, I think I meant to ask you this earlier, and it's, again, a question I asked your primary opponent yesterday. A lot of people in Galesburg are kind of hopeful that the manufacturing sector will bounce back and provide a lot of jobs for the area, whereas economic development people have focused more on the small businesses. What do you think is the solution there?
Well, I mean, I think that there's a balance there. You know, we've seen where a lot of our, you know, manufacturing jobs have gone away, and you know, we need to work to bring those back. Absolutely. You know, there are a lot of people that are trying to get their small businesses running as well. So I think there's always a balance. That's always been my big thing, is, you know, making sure that we have a balance with that. It's the same thing as being, you know, sitting, I've sat for the last 3 years at a bipartisan table, and we've worked together to make sure that we have a good balance in our communities here, and that we're working with other communities. You know, we have DOT and, you know, JBS on each side of us down here. And, so there's an opportunity for good balance in there. And I think we can bring some of those manufacturing jobs back without a doubt, while still supporting, small businesses. You know, my opponent has talked a lot about, you know, saying the same old with small business, and, you know, what's on Noreen's website is the same as on mine, and so on. You know, I get that part of it, you know, and what he's saying, but, I've been there. I've worked. I've gotten my hands dirty in that. And quite honestly, I know I'm the corporate bad person, according to him. And, but if that's the view that I think that he has, that a small community business, a small business like ours, that I'm a bad guy, that makes me fearful for, if he were to move forward, simply because if that's the way he thinks about a small business owner or small business operator, what's stopping him from thinking that about other small business owners and operators throughout our communities? And that's a really dangerous game to play. Me sitting back, you know, if I don't win this on Tuesday, I'm still operating a small business, and that makes me very fearful as a small business owner, that we have somebody that might think that way.
Okay, give me 30 seconds and talk directly to the voters, Scott, as to why they should pick you on Tuesday.
Well, I think that I provide the most experience as far as, you know, from a business standpoint, from a budgeting, being responsible, and more importantly, I have had over 20 years of leadership experience. I have been a leader throughout my life, and I know that I can be a very strong leader in this district. I have the best interests of everybody on my mind. I always go by the tenet that the taxpayers and the people that I serve pay, you know, those are the ones that sign my check. Nobody else signs, you know, the check other than the taxpayers and the people that I serve. So my goal is to put them ahead of everything else and make sure that we that I'm providing the best quality of life for every single person, man, woman, child, in the 93rd District.
Scott Stoll, one of the Democrats running for that 93rd District seat in the Illinois House, thanks so much for your time. Thank you for running, and we wish you the best of luck going forward.
Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it.
And again, tomorrow night on Galesburg's Evening News, Knoxville School District Superintendent Steve Wilder at 5:10 to talk about the ballot initiatives, the advisory referendums that District 202 has. We'll come back with Kim Commando in sports as Galesburg's Evening News continues on WGIL.